Parker, Reel One. Claire, could I ask you something about your background in Budapest, I believe, before the war started? I know you were a very young child, but could you tell me what you remember about your, for instance, first of all, your family?
Yes, we lived outskirts of Budapest, not like in the center. And I remember quite a lot before the war, but age 9 and a half, I stopped going to school.
I know this is very upsetting, but tell me about your father.
Yes, my father was taken to forced labor. And
this would have been when the war started.
I was 9 and a half, I was 42.
Yes, but 43. I wondered if you can remember life before the war, before all these troubles started. That's what I wanted to ask you about.
I really don't remember very much different then, because it was everything going normal, and all of a sudden they...
Yes, but could you tell me about normal?
That's what I remember really.
Yes, but what job did your father do before things started going on?
Next door to us was a workroom. He was doing polishing things. Those days was no stainless steel. So he was coating cutleries and skates, ice skates, to be shining. That is called chrome and nickel and like that. This is what he was doing. You know, people brought the material very hot and then picked away very shiny. That's what he was doing. It's a workroom next door to us. He was next door to us, a flat and a workroom next to it where he was living.
Would this have been in a Jewish quarter?
No, he wasn't. This was an area where people was, like Birmingham is a manufacturing town, you know. And the school was quite near where I was going. This was for the... on the 11, you know, it was still actually like 11 plus after age, 11 goes to a higher grade school. And my father had to go away. I mean, my mother and other people, they didn't know how to run it. And I don't know, and they ended up to close down, and I don't know really where from, we had money to live.
Yes. How about your mother? Tell me about your mother's background. Were both your parents born in Hungary?
Yes. In Pesterzy, but that's the outskirts of Budapest, you know. But we wasn't keeping the Jewish religion at all, you know. I mean, we had these high holidays like matzah to eat and things like that, but... actually, I don't remember going to synagogue with them. The only time I went to synagogue when one of my grandfather taken me, so the family wasn't religious at all, you know. But one of my grandfather tried to make, if my parents isn't, but he tried to make me know about things, but... because he wasn't living there, so he just... couldn't really teach me very much. So the school that I went to nearby, I was the only Jewish child. And I remember going to, when this very cold weather, I was staying in the class, and because in Hungary, mostly Catholics, you know, the religion, I remember the priest coming in, and I had to sit in the back. But give me some pictures, you know. So he knew who I was, you know. But I remember when things start getting bad, when you had to get up, it's not in an assembly, you know, it's every class had these prayers when they start telling me I stand in the back and don't join in the prayers. And so, as I say, I really remember the times when things going bad.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
No.
Any cousins?
I had cousins, yes, and uncles and aunts in the very same town, outskirts of Budapest, called Pesterzele. And
do you remember any other sort of signs of anti-Semitism before the war started that
yes,
affected?
Yes, that was really in Hungary. I call it before the war because I haven't seen the Germans coming in until 1944. When they, I remember, where we was living, was a wide road, and there was all the people was standing on the street and see them coming in with tanks and motorcades, you know, these side cars, motorbicycles with the side cars, you know, and raising their arms. And that was the time really started very bad. That was really, I guess, 43 end or beginning of 44. It's, you know, that's the really time when the Germans came into Hungary completely, you know, everywhere. There was everywhere German soldiers everywhere.
Before I ask you about that, Claire, you know, what was the situation like? You know, this would have been during the European War from 39 until late 1943 in Hungary, you know.
I wouldn't recognize anything worse than my father most of the time had to go away, like my uncles, because anybody who was, I don't know, 18 or something like that, grown-up boys, and until old age, because those days men used to be old by 60-something, you know. So up to 60-something, men had to go away forced labor. Where did I don't know. Occasionally when my father came back, stayed 2 days or so, and then had to go again, you know. And I don't know where they are. I have no idea. See, I was too young. I was, and actually, I was a sort of child. My parents didn't speak front of me. They used to send me out to play, you know, when the weather was good. When it was bad, then they was in the kitchen and sent me in the room to do some studying, you know, or reading or drawing. I used to be maybe my drawing, you know, to do something. They didn't want to talk front of me. So I, you know, China wasn't cheeky those days, you just told, you know. So I haven't heard very much.
And did things alter at school for
and
you?
Then, and then it gradually got worse and worse, and eventually I remember that my mother didn't allow me to go to school anymore. I came home with all bruises and everything, and China's friends stole at me. And they were about 10. So children are not bad, it's the adults. Because children have to learn from somebody to be bad. Children don't go on bad. They've been taught for it, isn't it? Knowing that I have to, you know. They've all been all right. Until they start going to higher school and the older children start teaching them bad language and everything. So these kids who was so hated for suddenly against me, I just couldn't possibly go to school no more. I refused actually. I said I don't want, I was crying and I said I'm not going to school.
Do you remember sort of how you felt at this time? I know it's a long time ago and you were very young, but for instance, your attitudes towards the Germans. Did you know anything about Hitler?
I had no idea, really, honestly. I did, as I say, my parents never talked front of me, so I really haven't had any knowledge of it, what's going on, really. I had no idea. I've seen them coming in. And my parents dragged me in out of the crowd because I went with the other children nearby houses and went to look at them and wave at them, you know. So I remember my mother dragged me into the house and says, "You stay in." And I never asked the question why. and I wasn't finding anything interesting to look at it, so I stayed in.
Did you know anything about what had happened in Germany to the Jews?
No, honestly, I never heard of anything. As I said, my parents were talked front of me, so I knew nothing about it. They were still, I suppose, looking back, maybe they were still afraid in case I'm making the situation worse if I will know it, and I start saying things what they wouldn't know what I'm saying when I'm playing with the other children.
You were saying earlier your grandfather used to talk to you.
Yes, but he wasn't talking about that. He was trying to teach me what's the Jewish tradition in these high holidays.
Did you have ever to wear a Star of David or any other sign?
Yes. Later on, yes, we had to, yes. Because a certain time when it was, could go out only, I don't know how long, but very short time. I remember a corner shop, I used to be very near. My mother used to send me just to buy anything we run out of, you know, anything, small items. And I remember I could read it, written out, no Jews and dogs allowed in. And I really never thought I am different from the other children I go to school, or my parents different from our neighbors, or anybody we had around us. I didn't understand why we called Jews. I really didn't know the meaning of it, you know. And because we lived exactly the same like anybody else. So I couldn't make sense of it, as my parents really brought me up to be same as everybody else. So I'm not standing out in the crowd, you see. We wasn't religious at all. Because in Pesht Ezhere, this is a sort of place where people lived very harmoniously with other people before the war. You know, you couldn't tell the difference who is Jewish or not, because people mingled with each other, they went to each other's home. And there was no difference. But this place where we lived, I don't really remember seeing people very religious, maybe because he wasn't lived near to the, because the very religious people used to live near to the synagogue, there was a synagogue, and maybe they lived near to it, because the tradition not supposed to take any transport to go to the synagogue or carry money, so you see this paper had to settle when this synagogue was built, and we wasn't religious.
Now you've given a very good idea, Claire, you know, of what your life would be and how integrated you were with Hungarian society.
I mean, you see, I was married twice, both of the times, not a Jewish person, because I always felt after the war, you know, I was in danger because I'm Jewish, you know. So I never talked about it, what happened to me, and I never said I'm Jewish. And I mixed among, and was suited in Hungary, I went back to Hungary, with communist law. It was not expected to, you needed to say what religion you belong to, so it suited me really.
Yes, I'll ask you about that, if I may, later on, yes. Claire. But I suppose, really, we've reached the stage where the Germans are coming in.
Yes.
And as you say, these really bad times began for you.
That was really terrible times, because I don't know what happened. It had to close down the workroom. My mother couldn't run it. I mean, she might could be running, but she was run out of customers. I don't think brought it in. Because there was always some people could have been old or very young could work, you know. And I think she ran out of customers. They didn't brought it anymore, you see. And I really don't know where from we had money to live on. So where from we had food, because as I say, the shops, was no Jews allowed in.
But did you eat? You know, did you manage to eat?
But I tell you something, I was very poor eater, so I didn't really recognise very much difference. And as long as we had some potatoes and a little bread, you know, I didn't... I don't know where, because where we lived nearby was a place where once the traders came in with the horse and carriage brought from the villages, brought milk and butter and vegetables. And maybe my mother could had enough money to buy from them, because that was just an open market, no roof over it, you know, and they just sold their goods from their horse and carriage carts, you know, sort of not horse and carriage, but perfect traveling, a sort of different ones where they carried the goods.
And during this period, you know, when the Nazis came in, as you say, it was late 43, early 44. What was your father was away, wasn't he?
I haven't seen him after that. Oh, I haven't seen him before this happened, you know, when the Germans came in after that. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen my grandfathers. You see, my grandparents was early 60s, and they wasn't old. I can't remember their age, I never asked, you know. I mean, the young children, especially in, I think, those days, children was not so, you know, not asking questions, that was the way going. It's just like sit to the table, not touching anything on the store, you can take it.
How about your... yes, I'm thinking of your mother on her own. Did she have friends?
No, well, I had my grandmother, her mother, who lived in the same place. I had an uncle, my mother's brother, and my uncle was away on my father's side, the two uncles, both was away, and their wife was just traveling again. I don't know how they managed. I had a cousin, 4 years old. 4 years old, because I had no brothers and sisters. I took this little girl like would be a sister, and my auntie and the little girl disappeared when we went to Auschwitz. My grandmother, I saw them last time when we arrived at the gate. Just said, you know, to turn to the left. I went to the left, and my mother, and we had to turn to the right. I never seen them again. I'm talking about my own experience, because maybe other people are different.
But yes, I'll ask you about that. When were you aware, you know, after the Germans moved in, that the deportations had started? You know, did you know that people were being taken?
No, I haven't. Because from Hungary they haven't started. Well, maybe Hungary somewhere, but not this place where I lived. You see, I don't know what happened to them. And those days, we had a telephone in the house, but I think by then we had to be desperate because we couldn't afford to pay. And the rest of my relatives who lived away from this town. They might have had my grandparents. I don't think they had telephone. Those days wasn't telephone in every place. We had, because we had the business next door. So it was very difficult to hear what's going on elsewhere. Or if my mother heard about it, I never been told.
So could you tell me then, you know, about the events leading up to your arrest?
Yes, by the age of 11, actually I haven't been in school from the age of 10. By the age of 11, that was the time when we had to start wearing this yellow, so my mother was cutting out two triangular cardboard you know, sort of like hard material, some paper, and covered it with material, and then just put together. That's the Jewish star, you know, the Star of David. And then we just had to add it on our clothes, you know, just put a safety pin on the back of it and just had to pin it on like a badge, you know.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about wearing
that? I didn't think anything wrong about that, you know, because I, you know, I really, you know, at 11 years old, you don't think anything seriously, you know. I mean, 11 years old is still a child, you know. And as I know, knew it, I don't know how many hours, but sort of very short time I was allowed to be on the street. And my father wanted to, I don't know what happened, because somebody told me after the war, my father wanted to come back to Prestersenberg. And he never was, because he wasn't look Jewish at all, you know. I will show you some photo. He wanted to come back to see us. And he was just traveling on a train, and he was picked up because he had no papers on him. And he wasn't wearing the star either. It's just bad luck. I don't know what happened. It's somebody told me well after the war that was happened to him. He was still sent back to wherever they used to work, so they didn't, that was the Hungarians who was checking on the train, you see. Because quite honestly say, a very large number of Hungarians was joining this Nazi party, whatever it was, I don't know how they were saying it, but they was taking on a job to do, maybe it was order of the Germans, I don't know, they was really in charge in Hungary then. And people in a particular uniform, which I haven't seen it before or after, which was called Chander, which is a special guard for Jews to watch, you know. They was wearing sort of helmet which looked like the cockerel feathers, you know, that big plumes on the back of the cockerels. That was looked like fluttering on the wind on their helmet. So this paper definitely was not police, it was a kind of, especially for doing the orders, I suppose. See, the older generation in Hungary was speak German, because before that, it was Hungary and Austria was under one government. You know, the Austro-Hungarian, what was it? I don't even know. But as far as I remember, all the generation would speak the German language. So this paper, who was taking the orders from the Germans, I suppose needed to be translated. They understood all right.
What languages did you speak?
Just Hungarian, yeah.
So could I ask you now then about the events which led up to your deportation?
Right. After that, we had to go to ghetto, which is meant, is a part of Prestersenberg street that was emptied out, whoever was lived there before, I don't know where they went. All the Jews of Prestersenberg had to live in that street. And very cramped, very cramped. I mean, we was living in a very small flat, if you can even call it flat. It was just one room, one kitchen, and a toilet outside. You know, you had to go, look like a little wooden shed. You had to go outside.
How but many of you there?
That was my mother's side, grandmother, because they lived apart, grandmother and grandfather. this grandfather wanted to teach me for the Jewish tradition. They lived apart, and he lived quite away. So grandmother, my mother and me, so the two lots of home furniture was just put up on one another. And of course only some of it. I mean, it wasn't room for everything, it just one room for three of us and one kitchen. And it was such a backward place because it wasn't even water. We had to carry it in buckets, the water, to be able to wash and cook. A very small place. Everybody was living in like sort of very tight condition. And then, now this was the time when we then started, when one day we had to leave everything and just go. We had to assemble on the street, middle of the road, 5 by 5 behind each other, and march to the station. And I really can't remember from this moment as we was walking 5 by 5. I can't remember from that time how we arrived to a place which is outskirts of the town with a brick factory. There was nothing there, only a huge ground, a huge just soil, you know, no grass or anything, just the huge ground, nothing. Most likely was something before we arrived and they emptied it. And whoever emptied it. And we were staying there for, again, I don't know how long, a little bit, day and night. And I don't know where from we had anything to eat. We was putting bricks together and put some straws and whatever to burn it and try to make food on it, you know. I don't know where from we had the food to make it. I don't remember how it was, really. And
were you allowed to carry anything away with you?
Most likely was allowed to carry, but I mean, how much you can carry for food, for how long?
Yeah.
And you don't, I mean, I don't think we knew where we go in. And I really don't know anybody knew what's happening. Nobody, I don't think anybody knew what's happening. And was an area where it was cold, and there was women went with the younger children. So I wasn't a young child, so I was outside. And it was outside. And that wasn't very cold, it was a spring. You see, in Hungary, the summer start earlier. By March, it's quite all right, you know, it's you can't go without even a cardigan on. And I don't know the months, I think it was a spring sort of weather already. And from this place, we went to these wagons. That was the place where we were, these wagons, which are used to be used, I think, for animals to transport. Sort of wooden, like wooden sheds would be on rail, quite honestly. I can't describe it any other way, you know. And inside is everything wood, you know. And there were so many of us. We just sit so tightly next to one another. And it was near, sort of near window, sort of, very small window, sort of, not window, it's just a square end open. And with some sticks in between, crisscross, like square-shaped holes you could look through. Most likely just for air, you know, like an air vent. I can't describe it. And I remember I was kept on looking out, and I had been told to sit down. I don't know who, but some voices kept saying, sit down. Maybe they thought I'm in danger if I'm in that visible. I don't know. So I was just sitting and there was no space to sit.